You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest is a comedy about many things, manners, marriage, and mistaken identity in Victorian England. Tony Award-winning actor Brian Bedford directs and stars in the Roundabout Theatre Company's latest revival of the classic, and the New York Times called his one of the great performances of the season. It's currently running at the American Airlines Theatre on Times Square on 42nd Street, and its run has just been extended through July 3rd, all of which makes me very pleased to welcome Mr. Bedford to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Now, this play was first performed in 1895, but its lines read just as funny today. Nothing has been changed, has it?
Well, it was changed by Oscar. You know the story about how it evolved. Originally, it
was, I would hope you would tell us.
Well, okay. Originally, it was a four-act play, and he was at rehearsals, and the actor manager who was playing Jack, and obviously producing it too, Oscar was driving them all nuts, and so they did the sort of classic thing, which has happened to everybody when they're about to be fired or got rid of in some kind of way, even temporary way. They said, "Why don't you take a holiday? Why don't you go to Algeria? And isn't Bozy in Algeria?" "Yes." "So why don't you join him over there and, you know, just have a good time, have a rest." And so Oscar saw all this being paid for. He said, "Okay." He came back about 3 weeks later, having behaved unspeakably badly in Algeria, and by which time they were doing a dress rehearsal, and he sat there, and he turned to the actor manager and said, "It's very strange. I once wrote a play very similar to this." And what they'd done in his absence was change it from a four-act play into a three-act play, streamlined it all, pretty well the version that you see at the American Airlines Theatre at the moment. But and Oscar approved of it to the extent that I'm sure you're aware, the only literary thing he did after prison was to make money, because he was desperately poor. He prepared the published version of The Importance of Being Earnest, and he included all the cuts that had been made, kept it as a three-act play, but also added some wonderful little tidbits of his own.
Well, the play is considered the height of his career, but then, as you say, he went to jail, Reading Jail, wrote all about that as well.
Yeah.
A very sad moment in literary history.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered about what would happen if Shakespeare came back and saw one of his plays being performed today. He might very well have the same reaction. I seem to remember writing a play something like what I'm seeing today. Mm-hmm. And even now, we are streamlining them a bit more by making them into two actors instead of three-act plays.
Yes. That's right.
I guess this is the you know, those intermissions can drag on.
Yeah. You don't have any choice in The Importance of Being Earnest. You have to have two intermissions.
Although it's hard to give too many spoilers about a play that's 116 years old. I'm not going to give the entire plot away. But it's basically about two men, John Worthing, also known as Jack, and Algernon Moncrief, who are pursuing two ladies, Gwendolyn Fairfax and Cecily Cardew. But no one, or at least the two men, aren't what they appear to be.
Yeah.
Were the names Jack and Algernon unfashionable at the time? Because both of the women insist that they'd never marry a man with either of those names, but they definitely would want to marry a man named Ernest.
No, it's a satirical farce. It's Oscar sending up the high society of his time, considering them absolute idiots, but also very amusing. And probably his unfavorite name was Ernest.
But was this also an in-joke? I've read that in Victorian times, the question, "Are you Ernest?" was sometimes code for "Are you gay?"
Yeah, I think it was. But Ernest was probably Queen Victoria's favourite name, apart from Albert, of course, because Ernest does suggest her values and her attitude towards life. What's amazed me, I've done a lot of reading, of course, about the importance of being earnest. What surprises me is that I've never seen any mention of the similarity between Lady Bracknell and the woman sitting on the throne.
I was just about to ask you whether she was intended to be some kind of a...
Well, she's, you know, Queen Victoria. It's a pretty subversive play, and there's all these funny little references about people speaking German, you know, which, of course, the British royal family did at the time.
Prince Albert was German.
Prince Albert was German, and all of his relatives. And there's a famous photograph with Queen Victoria sitting plumb in the middle of it all of about 40 monarchs of states. They're all related and all, of course, German.
Well, the Kaiser and the Tsar and the British royal family, they were all cousins.
That's right. That's right.
You play Gwendolyn's Lady Bracknell, the woman we're talking about. Is this your first time performing in drag?
Since I was 12, when I played the Virgin Mary, yes. I've always kind of rather fancied a really good drag part.
Well, you get to wear some impressive gowns, maybe the most impressive ones I've seen in Broadway in a long time, and amazing hats.
Yes, amazing hats. Somebody said, what is it like wearing two hats, meaning director and actor? And I said, well, when they're as beautiful as the ones I wear, it's pretty good. Actually, once you get into those frocks and wigs and makeup and hats, you're halfway there.
Well, they look incredibly heavy.
They are quite heavy. It's like being under a rug or something.
Is Lady Bracknell often played in drag in the history of the play?
Not really. Not really often. A few people have done it. William Hutt did it at Stratford, Ontario, about 30 years ago. Ellis Rabb, do you remember Ellis Rabb, who had the APA years ago? He played it. And last night at the Café Luxembourg, I ran into Geoffrey Rush, who is just about to play Lady Bracknell.
Is he?
Yeah.
As a speech therapist.
No. I said, you know, like the rest of the world, I thought you were absolutely brilliant in The King's Speech. No, this is a production that they did about 30 years ago, at which time Rush played Jack and his wife played Gwendolyn. And now they're revisiting it. And he's playing Lady Bracknell, and his wife is playing Miss Prism. and he's threatening to come to the matinee on Wednesday.
We've had two Merchants of Venice, one that is ending its run, another one coming. Yeah. Does it really matter when you're doing a classic like this? Isn't it, to some degree, about the performance, how a different person approaches a Lady Bracknell, for example?
I guess. By the way, Geoffrey's not doing it in New York. He's doing it in Melbourne, Australia,
I'm not going to go see that.
But years ago, I did a play called Two Shakespearean Actors, which was a historical event in around 1850 when the British tragic superstar actor Macready came over with Macbeth, and the American great classical actor, a man called Edwin Forrest, he was playing Macbeth. And at that time, they were on at the same time, and there were actual riots, and people got killed, and this is how passionately people felt about their classical theater in 1850. I don't think that'll happen if...
They used to tour with Shakespeare all across the country in the 19th century. That's hard to imagine today.
Yeah.
Who had the idea for you to play Lady Bracknell?
Des McAnuff, who directed, amongst other things, Jersey Boys. He is now the artistic director at Stratford, Ontario, in Canada. And he came up with the idea, which I didn't think it was a very good idea at first. But then eventually I did. He said, you should direct the play and play Lady Bracknell. And I thought, should I? I don't know.
Well, directing and acting in the same thing, isn't that difficult at times?
It is. I seem to do it rather a lot. And of course, there is an English tradition of actors directing. You know, Olivier did it. John Gielgud did it a great deal. And I think the director was only invented actually in the 20th century.
So actors just got together and figured it out for themselves. You come over there.
Well, I think the leading actor said, "You'll move over there and go a little downstage and look up at me, you know, and all that."
So it was the leading actor who was the equivalent of a director.
I think so. Irving did that, and
Brian Bedford is doing it now as in The Importance of Being Earnest, which is at the Roundabout Theatre Company's production of the Oscar Wilde classic at the American Airlines Theater. Wilde has been quoted as saying about the play's theme that we should treat all trivial things in life very seriously and all serious things of life with a sincere and studied triviality. That's something easier said than done on the stage, isn't it? I mean, the getting that light touch
I think it's this. I think it's the way into an appropriate interpretation of The Importance of Being Earnest. John Gielgud told me John did a legendary production of The Importance of Being Earnest in, I think, 1939. He discovered Edith Evans, and she played Lady Bracknell, and it was called the black and white production. I've seen some photographs of it, which look very odd indeed, but it's a legendary production.
Black and white because everyone was in a black or white costume?
Yes, and the set was all black and white, and it seems strangely kind of limiting to me. But anyway, but I remember John saying to me he thought that the key to The Importance of Being Earnest was the seriousness of your approach to it, you know, as an actor and a director. And so we went that route.
I mean, don't play it as comedy.
Yeah.
Play it as straight as possible and let the lines take care of themselves.
Yeah, who said comedy is a very serious business?
Well, one of the things that struck me about the play is that many of Wilde's lines have multiple meanings embedded in them. So as an actor, you have a lot to work with. And I wonder whether you ever thought about that comic note, or did you just simply underplay the comic note?
Well, we approached it as a comedy, of course. And when John Gielgud said the way in is through the seriousness of approach, he meant it makes it funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Because although Oscar did view all these people as being very empty-headed, you know, ridiculous, pointless people, they didn't think so. They thought quite the opposite.
Well, your character gets a lot of laughs from two-word responses like, a handbag?
Yes, I don't go there, of course. I don't go the Edith Evans route because, you know, that would be unwise, I think.
So you're going to be – now it's extended to July 3rd. I guess it would have been considered a little unpatriotic to continue it to July 4th. But what do you do after that? Do you know? You've received Tony nominations for your last five outings on Broadway. I wouldn't be surprised if you get one for this one as well.
That would be nice.
Is it true that you, and Peter O'Toole and Albert Finney were all classmates at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts?
It is true.
Did people think it was an exceptional class?
We did. We were sort of alarmingly confident, all about 18 years of age. O'Toole was a little bit older. I think he was maybe 22. One or two or something, because he'd already been a reporter, and his mother had worked with my father at the Leeds post office, Leeds being in Yorkshire. But we were all sort of working class boys, all away from home for the first time, all hell-bent on having as good a time as possible. And we were very, very condescending about the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art and what they could teach us. And as I say, we had this alarming confidence. I don't know where it all came from.
I remember speaking to Gene Hackman about being in a company or a class with Dustin Hoffman, and maybe there was a third really famous actor, and they were considered the least likely to succeed.
Really?
So you can't always spot a great actor in school.
That never occurred to any of us.
We thought you were going to be great.
Absolutely sure we were great actors, yeah.
And who put together this cast?
I did.
Well, it's a wonderful cast. Paul O'Brien, Santino Fontana, David Furr, Sarah Topham, Charlotte Parry, and the wonderful Dana Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
And as Lady Bracknell, Brian Bedford. Thank you so much for being with
and
us.
And Tim MacDonald as Merriman.
I forgot.
Yes.
Tim MacDonald as Merriman.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Brian Bedford.
Thank you. It's been fun.